could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. I don't know about you. I was just thinking as the show, intro was playing there. This show's really changed my life. I don't know about yours. It's changed my life, man. It's forced me to get up in the morning and get into the things that really matter right away. To not lay around in bed, not to sit up at night and watch that stupid Fox News. Remember the lineup they used to have with O'Reilly and Hannity and whoever the heck was after them. I don't do any of that anymore. Go to bed early, wake up early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Thank you for the fellowship and the friendships that we've made. Thank you for the fact that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. I thank you for the grace that's given to me when I say stuff off the top of my head that I probably shouldn't say, when I react in ways that I shouldn't react, when I'm just being me. Thank you for the bond of people that come here every morning, ones who watch it later on. And no, I'm not trying to blow any smoke up anybody's rear. I just, you know, so much craziness going on that if you're anything like me, we were painting up at Sky High yesterday. In fact, I did some work up there this weekend and you know, if you're anything like me, you got a headphone in your ear almost all the time, trying to keep up on everything that's going on with the coronavirus and the data and what this opinion is and what this opinion is and what this guy says and what this guy says. And it's so easy for us to be dragged down a hole that we really don't want to get dragged down. And I just thank all of you out there for staying solid and consistent and saying, you know, you might want to listen to this. It might not be true, whatever. But I know this. I'm a lot more informed than I used to be, baby. There's not a whole lot that gets by me. I don't always know what's true and what's not true. I confess that. The whole Q phenomenon and, you know, they're going to arrest all these people and there's 175,000 sealed indictments, yada, yada, yada. And Trump's really taking on deep state. I don't know about all that stuff. I really don't know. And as I've tried to share with you, Satan is the author of confusion. There is a story and there's the story. There is a truth and the truth. They're not always the same, right? And unfortunately, with truth can be altered. Not actual truth, not real truth. It can be altered. But if you're not careful, the truth can be altered to a truth. Taken out of context, taken in different perspectives, you can find yourself believing something that's a little bit true. They told me once that a lie is the skin of the truth packed with a lie, packed with falsehood. So we're going to be careful. So this one, I don't even know why I said all that. Welcome. Good to have you all here with us. And we had a local guy I know who died yesterday from, they say, coronavirus here locally. And one of the things I want to make sure that everybody understands about this show and about my approach to certainly the whole coronavirus thing is I believe it's real. I believe it's deadly. I believe that there are people who are obviously going to die from coronavirus. I don't want anybody to think that I'm making light of it because George Croom's dead. And I coached his son. And I know George Croom is dead. I don't know the conditions. I don't know under what conditions it happened. I don't know how old George is. He's a retired deputy here in our local community and man of God, bold man of God, and he died. Now here comes some of the skin of truth packed with a lie. I don't know whether George just got it and dropped over dead, or whether George has been fighting some other issues And then the coronavirus agitates or magnifies the impact of those. I don't know. All I know is this, that they will now list his cause of death, the coronavirus. So those numbers, we have to be careful. Remember, as I said, statistics lie and liars use statistics. And I'm trying to balance here with all of you reality, both sides and reality. I grieve for the Kroon family that they lost their daddy. I grieve for him. I do. Coronavirus is real. It does kill people. The question then is, what should be our reaction to it? I just want to make sure that everybody understands. I've never said it's not real, but I tend to believe that the reaction to the coronavirus may be worse than the virus itself. Time's going to tell. Unless we really know, if we really get information that we can trust, we see that some of those guys that have been giving us information on now are backing off on some of their predictions. And it's, I don't want to make light of it. Anybody want to throw something in on top of what I'm saying here? If coronavirus is real, it's real. Is our reaction to it appropriate? I think that's the question most of us want to. And if we go back to what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. Are we looking at a crisis that's being used and manipulated for nefarious reasons? That's my question. Anybody want to jump in on that? Don't have to. Okay, cool. Listen, let's talk a little bit about just a kind of a review from yesterday. The whole kingdom of God issue. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Any thoughts from that? Any, as you guys have had 24 hours or 23 hours now, 21 hours to ruminate over it. Anything that's, any revelation you got yesterday? Any, give me a little bit of feedback on yesterday. What's your response to us? Come on in, somebody. I feel like I'm alone here this morning.
Hey, Coach.
A word to say? Nobody? Is my microphone working there? Boy, I need a haircut.
Hey, Coach.
Abortion clinic, see if I can get a back alley haircut.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I think it was summed up in a very succinct way. Personally, I've heard parts of things about the kingdom, you know, in different churches, different sermons over the years, but it wasn't really put together in quite the same way like we talked about yesterday.
Gary, I was thinking of this, folks. I always kind of review it in my head, and I was thinking back over it. The Holy Spirit, Jesus told us, there was a Paul told us, to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring it into captivity. Wouldn't it be powerful if you could really do that? If you really could take captive your thoughts. Good thoughts, bad thoughts, pull them in, send them through the filter of the Holy Spirit, and be able to determine whether or not the thought that you are having, is it from God or is it from the dark side? Take captive every thought. Because ultimately, guys, whether it comes to fasting, whether it comes to trying to quit smoking, whether it's time to break a pornography habit, everything that you do in your life begins with a thought. Now, I don't know where thoughts come from. I'll turn that one over to Mark Trump and let him talk about electric magnetic forces and where a thought originates and how I can't explain all that. I don't understand that. But I do know this, that we are totally and completely controlled by our thoughts. And if you do not have a filter, it's almost impossible to serve the Lord. It's almost impossible. We read yesterday in Galatians about the fruits of the lust of the flesh, what those are, and then the fruits of the Spirit and what they are, and how diametrically opposed both of those are. And how do we ever reach the point where we are able to take captive every thought? Now, right now, Jared, my screen is flashing. Am I still broadcasting, folks? You still hearing me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Because I had trouble getting on my own computer this morning. I'm just giving Jared a little heads up. Something crazy is going on here at my own computer. So think about every aspect of your life. Think about the coronavirus. And think about as we watch what's going on with the coronavirus. And no, I'm not going to stay on that today. Think about the coronavirus. How everything that you – hey, have you guys seen many reports on how many people have survived it? Or are we hearing reports on the people who are being killed by it? I saw a report yesterday of the first child, young child, like 5 years old, died of coronavirus. Now, I thought, why would they tell me that? Was that so? People die all the time. I'm not making light of it. Take captive every thought. What is it that they're, what are the thoughts that they're trying to put into your head, into my head? When we go to church, I'm sorry, this car, bear with me a second here. Now think about when you go and you hear a sermon at church. And what is the thought that the pastor is trying to plant in your head? Because he's not trying to be malevolent. I don't mean he's planting thoughts, but what's the thought? And I'm thinking, you know, I watched not a lot. I didn't watch a lot, but I breezed out. Every once in a while I get on Facebook and I go down and I watch the online sermons. I don't know if you guys do that or not. I watch some of the online sermons just to get a feel for what's going on. And I'm surprised how many of the online sermons are feel-good messages about how your faith will pull you through and be strong and don't give in to it and God has a wonderful plan and it's all going to be okay in the end. And if the only reason we go to church is to have encouraging messages or to be fed, you're only eating once a week? You're only eating on Sunday? You have to go get your weekly food on Sunday? See, that's part of the problem in my mind of what's happened to American Christianity. We go have a buffet once a week and expect that buffet to carry us all through the week. Most people now, some do daily devotionals, read their scriptures and do that. But for the most part, Christians have not been trained to think on our own. We haven't. We haven't been trained to think. What's the word I'm looking for? Skips. We have not. We just haven't. We haven't been thought to think for ourselves. And so we get in a situation like this, and what do we find happening on our TVs, on our internets? Well, we are getting messages again of the pastor telling us what to think. In my opinion,
it's called being independent, Coach.
Is anybody seeing it any differently than me? Go ahead. Was that Joseph? Somebody?
Yeah, it's called being independent from the thought of the church.
Independent thought. That's it, Joseph. To think independently. Is that the message? Is that why grown Christian men are so, I don't want to say helpless, but really so much in a fog about what it is they're supposed to do? Let's talk about that phenomenon.
We think sin. We think having a thought is thinking. Having a thought does not incorporate thinking. Thinking means diving into it. We have to have more than a thought. We have to actually think. But we've been taught to think sin.
So I posted, I was thinking about this. I posted a meme on Facebook yesterday, I think it was, and maybe a couple days ago. And just, you know how I do this. I like to just throw memes out there. And the meme I threw out there is, along the lines, I want to get it right now. In most sicknesses, don't they quarantine the sick people, not the well people? I'm trying to think of any type of sickness we've seen where they quarantine healthy people. Now, I threw that out there just for a thought because I want people to question themselves, why and who is determining that I should be quarantined and why are they determining that? So I got back some responses and they said, logically, right? Well, Coach, they quarantine people because they want to stop the spread of it. Or Coach, they quarantine people because we don't know who has it. Well, that all makes sense. That all makes sense. But What else is the quarantine revealing? If they can lock you down when you are perfectly healthy, is that not something to be concerned about as well? I'm just taking captive my thoughts, and I'm thinking this thing through. Michelle got up this morning and said to me, honey, do we have to sit around here again today? She said it in a loving way. We had our grandkids all here yesterday. It was a wonderful day. But her point is, who's telling me I got to sit in here? Now, stop. I understand how coronavirus spreads. Is quarantining healthy people the only way? Somebody give me a response.
Coach, I think this is fabulous. This is a great point. People that don't think for themselves automatically just fall in and do what the government tells them.
That's right.
Look at South Korea, Coach. They got on top of this and they didn't quarantine anyone. They put the sick people, they asked them to isolate. They didn't stop the economy. They kept working. They didn't stop any of it. And they're almost out of it.
So the question becomes then, Randy, as we've heard the president say, a couple of people say, is the cure worse than the disease? I don't know. We don't know yet at this point, right? But why are we so programmed to blindly follow authority? That's my question. I've had people.
Coach, my...
Go ahead.
So my message wasn't on that at all yesterday. I'm dealt with the fact is that, you know, for all of these years, and that it is the battle between the seed and the serpent, and that is point one. And all these years, we see Satan through abortion. He is trying to destroy the image bearer through, trying to give people sex changes. He tries to pervert the image bearer. But right now, he's now attacking the seed directly through fear, which is the cancer to faith. This thing is a feeding the beast of fear into the saints of God, brother. The church is being quarantined away from what they were called to do.
Dale, that's the point that I'm, I guess maybe that's the zero in point that I'm asking. What and who is programming us? When the Lord said to take captive every thought, he said, when that thought comes to you, stop a minute and think about it. Why are they quarantining everyone down? Why are they locking everyone down? Is it only because of a virus? And once you begin to ask yourself those questions, then you end up going in a different direction. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, Coach, I think they're locking people up because they want people to think this is a communicable disease when it's really an effect of 5G, which the gigahertz destroys your oxygen and your iodine in your system, which causes all kinds of respiratory problems. Mark knows all about this stuff. It's not isolation doesn't help at all. Look at Amazon. Look at Walmart.
So, folks, listen. Ask yourself this. See, here's the problem. Really, here's one of the problems that we are dealing with. In my not so humble opinion, we have been trained to obey authority. We've been trained to do that. We don't speak up in church. We teach our children, obey your teachers. We tell the people, obey the government. That is the mindset of the American people. And it's a good thing, friends. But what do we do when powers, dark powers, infiltrate, take over these positions of authority? Do you see what happens to us? Do you see the danger of what could, in fact, happen to us? And what happens if I speak up against coronavirus? What are they going to say? Well, you know what happened to Mr. Croom. Well, I understand what happened to George. I feel sick about it. But I know another guy who just dropped dead yesterday from a heart attack. I feel just as bad about that. Death is part of life. Is part of the issue the softness of the American Christian? I don't know. I'm not going to lay here all day long, but I think this kind of stuff is important because you know this, don't you? Some of you right now, you have been told, quit listening to Coach. It's a cult. Quit listening to him. You've had pastors say to you, I wouldn't listen to him. I wouldn't listen to him. No, you ought to listen to the pastor, right? The pastor's got it all together. He knows everything. Trust him. He'll be the one. And meanwhile, his church is closed. His church is closed. And he's telling you to do likewise. And I'm not, am I making myself?
You're promoting free thinking. The system that we have are not promoting free thinking. See,
amen.
Without free thinking, we have no one to challenge authority when it's wrong. We have, and there is a way to challenge authority without usurping it and without rebellion. And
right.
We have that. We know how to do that, but we have to do it when it's out of line.
Coach, I'll tell you what's crazy. The governors with the biggest mouths are the ones that's killing the most babies. I'm not listening to those jokers. Thank God I don't live in their state.
There is a dichotomy there, isn't there? There is something there to look at. That the guys who are the ones who are most, the governors that seem to be most tyrannical are the ones that are, they're not pro-life. They say they claim they want to save life, but they don't want to do it. Jared, pull up deaths worldwide. And now I was having this conversation with my daughter yesterday, Abby. Abby's a lot like me. She questions about everything, which I think is healthy. And I started reading this to her yesterday, and she said, "Dad, none of those are contagious." Jared, do you see what I'm saying? It says deaths worldwide. It was an email I sent you. It says deaths worldwide. I'm sorry, folks.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Craig out here in Maryland.
Hey, Craig.
I sent you some of that stuff there.
Yep.
I think what we all need, you know, we all need just the facts, and we need the truth, and we need to also filter this through why God is allowing this to happen. Is God incipitating it? Is God allowing Satan to incipitate it? We have to filter everything through the scriptures. And, of course, we know prophecy. And we know Matthew 24 of the signs of the end of the age is there the beginning of the birth pains. And just, you know, I've researched this SARS. I sent you all that information about it. You know, we're misrepresenting this by calling it the coronavirus because we need to call it SARS because that's the family that this particular virus is really attaching itself. And SARS is an acronym for severe acute respiratory syndrome. And what we need to keep and ponder in what we're doing here and ponder this and figure this out and research it for yourself is why this is different than any particular plague in history, okay? And I can briefly talk about it for a minute or two. I don't want to take up your show, but if you want me to, I'll do it. Okay?
I'd rather do a show on that. Let me explain something right here because this is a great example of it. Jared, I just resent you the email. I don't know if you got it or not, because what Craig, see, here is this is I don't use the term problem because it's not a problem. This is an example. We are being bombarded with experts telling us different things. You would all would agree with that, right? You got this expert telling you everybody's going to die. You got this expert telling you very few people are going to die. We've got this expert telling you take that one medicine and you'll be okay. You got this expert telling you it's too late, you can't already do it. You got this expert saying we wouldn't have been here if we'd closed the borders. We've got this expert saying it doesn't matter if we did close the borders. It was already, we are being bombarded with information. And all information, as I said the other day, taken out of context is sometimes disinformation. Craig, I'll have you on here in the next couple of days. We'll get this thing cleared up. The point that I'm trying to make is what is the truth? What is the truth? Okay, I'm gonna read it.
Hey, okay,
so here's what. Okay. Jared's having trouble getting emails today. Okay, buddy. Listen. So listen to this. I wish you could see it because I know you guys are visual. We're all visual. We have 22,000, I'm sorry, worldwide since January 1st till now. 22,000 deaths from the coronavirus. 22,000. Keep that in mind, okay? We've had 113,000 deaths by just the normal flu. 113,000. 22 by coronavirus, 113 the natural flu. We've had 250,000 deaths by malaria. We've had 249,000 deaths by suicide in these last 3 months. We've had 313,000 deaths in traffic accidents. We've had 390 deaths from AIDS. Last 3 months, 390 deaths by AIDS. People die every day, every second. We've had 581,000 deaths by alcohol just in the last 3 months. We've had 1.1 million deaths from smoking in the last 3 months. We've had 2.3 million deaths in the last 3 months from abortion. I'm sorry, from hunger. 2.3 million. And we've had 9,900,000 deaths by abortion just in the last 3 months. So the question we have to ask ourselves, that I continue to ask, is what is the reason why we are so controlled by the coronavirus? That's the question I'm getting. I feel like I'm floundering here today. Y'all with me? Are y'all with me? And why have the men of God become so influenced by it? Maybe that's my question. All right, I'm going to move on. Unless somebody's got something for the good of the goose or the gander, whatever. I want to move on to something else. Jared's having trouble getting email, so this may not work. Jared, see if you can pull up the thing. It says resized. Resized. I don't know if you're able to pull that up or not.
Hey, Coach.
Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, before you leave, I want to make this point. I think it's timely. We have to decide the spirit. What is the spirit of this situation? What spirit is driving it? What is the, look how Jesus handled it. Peter, when he come back at Jesus and said, I want to do this and that. And he said, hey, Peter, you don't know what spirit you're of. John and James wanted to call fire down from heaven and kill them. And Jesus said, boys, you don't know what spirit's driving you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what. So, Coach, in this situation right here, we need to just ponder it, all this information, when we get it, and just say, Lord, what is the spirit that's driving this? We can judge it. We have the tools to judge it, but we have to take the time and to ponder it and to judge it. And that's how we know a lot of times what information is true and what's not, misinformation. So
reality is you're traveling from Louisiana into Texas because the crisis has been used to experiment with shutting state borders.
Now, Jack, stay right there a second. See, that's what I'm saying about taking captive every thought. I'm talking about parallel ideas happening at the same time. So we have the coronavirus, which none of us can deny is going to kill people. But what are the parallel tracks that are running along all across the world in regards to this virus? Is this a pandemic? Is this like the Asian flu? I don't know. What possibly could explain the shutting down of the entire world, which basically is what we're looking at? Virus, really? That's really it?
Population control, people control, thought control, panic control, money control.
But see, Jack, then that brings back to those pastors who would say, don't listen to Coach. He has Jack on there. Jack is a conspiracy theorist, and you're just gonna get your
practice. We gotta use the right word. I'm a conspiracy factist.
Jack, I'm using their words, not yours.
I know.
They're telling the people, right, stay away from Jack because he's going to have you warned, you know, when in fact Jack's saying, well, this stuff is real. This stuff, the battle continues to be over truth. Somebody come in here. I'm flying.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would one thing I would say, if this is not going to usher in the one world government, it's certainly a big dress rehearsal and a big step forward towards that end, just like 9/11, except amped up about 10 times over.
It would be, it'd be like this. It'd be like if I got 10 or 11 guys or 12 guys. This is before the coronavirus. I got some kids in the neighborhood, and we got out, and we went downtown to the park, and we started playing some football down there, just a little pickup game. And you know, at the end of it, we would say, "Hey, maybe we ought to put a team together. We might have a team here." Well, the same thing I believe is happening with this whole, the whole coronavirus thing. They're finding out we can do this, and 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 let's use it to do this. Well, let's lose it. Let's do it to implement the New World Order. Let's do it to implement the New Green Deal. Let's do it to change the economy. Let's do it to feed the poor. That's a lot of parallel reasons. And that's what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. And see, people look at this crisis as different opportunities to do different things, many of them good, most of them nefarious. That's the point I'm trying to make here. With me? Got a quiet crew here today.
It's not a pandemic, Coach. This is an epidemic, maybe, but it's not a pandemic. They created the pandemic to just control the people with fear. That's all it is, period.
Who's the author of fear? Who's the author?
That's right. That's the spirit of it, Coach. That's the spirit driving it, right?
The spirit, right?
How many rights are being tested at this juncture would have nothing to do with the epidemic, but there's a way to test. Okay, we can test how much rights people will allow us to step on. How far they'll let us go, when will it stop, when will the people say no? It's back to 25 years ago, Michael Badnarik did that video. It's out there. I've put it out 1,000 times. I will not comply.
Cool. I'm with you, Jack. I'm with you. So folks, remember, where did I start out this morning? Take captive every thought. I got this from Dale Socia this morning, which you're seeing on your screen right now. He got this out of a homeschooling book. Can you all, some of you can see it, some of you can't. Jared, this is, yeah, great, Jared. This is two part. Now, the other part, Jared, has turned the wrong way also. But Dale just sent me this morning. In order, this is called Exaggerating Environmental Risk. This is out of a homeschool book that they have. In order to persuade the public to support a particular viewpoint, environmental activists often exaggerate some risks and downplay others. By using true but misleading statements, hear that? True but misleading statements, practically any substance on earth can be made to sound like a menace to society. For example, consider the following true statements about the chemical dihydrogen monoxide, DHMO. Guys, ever heard of that? Well, DHMO is a powerful solvent that can corrode many metals. At high temperatures, DHMO decomposes into explosive gases that can be used as rocket fuels. Chronic exposure to solid DHMO can cause severe tissue damage and gangrene. Exposure to the liquid form causes temporary changes in the skin. In contact with DHMO vapors can cause severe burns. Laboratory animals fed large amounts of DHMO exhibit nausea, vomiting, edema, and electrolyte disturbances. Only a few grams injected intravenously can be fatal. DHMO is used in the manufacture of pesticides, plastics, and nuclear weapons. It is also used as a general purpose solvent and coolant. Can you get the next page up? Takes about 30. Hey, so let me ask you right now, what do you think about this as we're going through this? Because Dale asked me this morning. This substance right here, should this substance be banned? Should it be regulated? Or should it be able to just
license.
Be...
You got to get a license. You have to have a license to produce and transport. License.
Yeah, do we need a license to produce and transport? I mean, this sounds to me like this is a pretty serious thing that we need some type of government agency to be able to regulate to protect the rest of us, right? Anybody out there? How many think we should, anybody think we should ban it? Anybody vote for banning it? No banning? Anybody vote for regulating it? We need to regulate it? I know there's a little bit of delay. I know some of you are voting on it. I'm waiting for Jared to get the other part of this. Remember, this was in a homeschool textbook. So there, Jared's got it. Ban DHMO. Ban it. We need to ban it. We ban it. So we're continuing on. Many industries dump DHMO into the environment. It's often stored near populated areas. Now, based on the above facts, would you think DMHO should be banned, carefully regulated, or not regulated at all? Actually, banning dehydrogen monoxide would be a grave mistake. Even though all of the above statements are true, human life would be impossible without DHMO, which most people just call water. Although no one seriously proposes to ban water, many current environmental debates, from chlorine bans to the elimination of pesticides, are based upon similar exaggerated fears. And although there are many legitimate concerns about pollution, keep in mind that not everything that sounds ominous is a threat to the environment. It's good, isn't it? Now, I'm going to go a different direction here. See, because your mindset matters, friends. I wonder how many Christians who look what's going on now with the coronavirus and all, I wonder how many Christians automatically think end of days. We are at the end of days. And if you think that we are at the end of days, say, well, coach, just go to Matthew. Just go right there in Matthew. It spells it right out in Matthew. So if you have that mindset about you that we are at the end of days, that's the way you are going to respond. If you have no religious training at all, and you look at what's going on around us, then you have a different answer, a different solution to the environment in which we live. So your ability to take captive every thought has to do with what your knowledge base is. That's why it's important to take the rest of that verse, which says, take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. It's critical that we do this, folks. And Christians who already have such a mindset about certain things. I can't tell you the number of responses I've received on email from people say, well, coach, it's just end times. It's what the Bible says is going to happen. Well, what if I don't believe that? What if I don't believe it? Am I welcome in church?
Hey, coach.
Run off and start their own denomination. What happens as a result? Yeah, go ahead. Is that Paul?
It may be end times per se, but that doesn't mean you roll over and die.
So what should our response be to it, right? What should our response be?
Well, we should go ahead.
Coach, let Paul finish.
Go. No, I was just saying, is learn to question. You know, I was out a little bit, run some errands, and some people I'd run into, I'd have to ask them, you know, I heard that it wasn't 6 feet. I heard it was 14 feet. They kind of look at you like funny. I said, how do they determine that? And they couldn't give me an answer because, I don't know, I'm just learning to question stuff. It's just, I don't, it's just,
Paul, the average,
there's more going on than what we see.
The average Christian has stopped asking questions. We believe what we're told, and we do not question authority, however that authority might appear to us. I'm not trying to tinfoil hat you. I'm trying to get you to open your mind up and think and understand this question. How can the rapture be both true and not true? It can't be. We have whole denominations built on the pre-tribulation rapture and whole denominations that don't believe it's true. Now, which one is true? And I can tell you this, you will gravitate to the church that shares your theology. You'll gravitate to that.
Hey, Coach.
Because we already have a mindset about it, right? We've been taught that. We hate to unlearn things that may not be true. Yeah, Jack.
Oh, no, this is Gary. Do you remember back in the 60s, one of the big slogans among the younger generation was question authority? Whatever happened to that?
Well, now that the authority is in control, they don't want to be questioned anymore. See, it was a part of the over.
They took over. They took over. They're the ones that are running this.
The protesters from
the 60s are the ones that are running this nightmare. Hey, Coach, your same idea of taking every thought captive, and you are a product of your environment and the way you think. And
yep.
So take that back to the 1600s, and that's exactly what the people that were translating the King James Version were born into a feudal system, and the divine right of kings of Romans 13 is because of their mindset.
So, Jack, still
paying the price.
What I'm asking is are we trying to live out pre-written history? Is that what's going on? God's in control, but he doesn't control everything. He's in control, but he doesn't ultimately control everything. He's in control. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he doesn't control everything. He's given us free will and free choice, right? And so the question that we see what's happening all across America right now is now that the churches are closed, most of them are closed, people are now forced to feed themselves. And they don't even know how to do it. They don't really even know how to do it.
Coach, let me jump in here real quick. First off, you're absolutely right. They're having to feed themselves, and they're like little children. Little children, if you put healthy fruit and vegetables on the table or a box of donuts, they're going to feed themselves the donuts. And, brother, that's what they're doing. They're feeding themselves. They're feeding themselves junk.
And well,
that's all they've been. Dale, you hit the nail on the head. Unfortunately, what it shows me is that's all they've been being fed was junk because of how they're falling in line. They're acting like people that have no hope. They're acting just like the world. There's no difference in a church in the world.
Why is that?
Because they're not feeding themselves on the word of God. That's why.
Amen. Amen.
Wait a minute. Yeah. They've been served selective meat.
That's right. It ain't even been meat. It's been that. What's that junk you get that's white and they call it meat? What is that crap in the Chinese restaurant? That junk.
That's why I don't do it.
Just go to the state park entrance. You'll get the explanation. Don't feed the bears. It makes them dependent.
So the point is, why are grown Christian men being ravaged now because they can't go to church and have their pastor tell them what's going on? That's pathetic, isn't it, folks?
Because their pastor didn't teach them. Their pastor didn't teach them to understand God's word and verify it for themselves. You don't teach them. You don't give someone a fish every day. You teach them how to fish.
That's
right.
The
whole role of the pastor is to provide the environment in the church, which is, pastor is not a scriptural thing, and you brought that up. But what is our role? Our role is to teach our children and teach new believers why the word of God is true, how to decipher it and understand it and apply it. because the Word of God is the revelation of who he is, what the future is going to portray, which is prophecy. But 30% of the Bible is prophecy. If you've never sat down and seriously studied prophecy and why it's important, it says Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The Jewish people, the Pharisees, knew the scripture, but they couldn't interpret it. That's why Jesus said, you can look at the red sky, you know, warning. You can look at the things around you, but you can't apply them scripturally. And that's why we're in this shape. And this is a judgment against America, but it's a judgment against the church. Because judgment starts at church first. God goes to the church first, and he's coming after the world second. And we, and myself, responsible. I take responsibility for the years that I did not stand up or invest in understanding the Word of God and being a good servant to him. And so it's going to affect me too.
It's going to affect all of us. Jared, pull up Linsky's Rules for Radicals real quickly. I want you to see this, folks, because remember this. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you do not know. And for the most part, we hate being taken, all of us now, we hate being taken outside our area of expertise. We hate it. But if you look at Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, I want you to look, go on down, Jared. There it is. Look at rule two, Jared. Never go outside the expertise of your people. There it is. Pastors, don't dive into controversial subjects. They don't study prophecy. They don't look at what's going on in the world. See, it's easy to say when somebody comes to a pastor, if somebody comes to you, it's not sufficient for us to simply say, well, that's what the Bible says will happen. That is not an answer. That is not an answer. We need to be able to respond to them. This is what's going on because here is what the scripture says, and here is where this lines up. But see, Christians, the average Christian sitting in the pew never has an area of expertise. They don't know. They have just sat there like sheep and heard the same feel-good messages repeated over and over and over. That's why we are in the mess that we're in. And I said on yesterday's show, I have no fear. I can't even tell you. I'm not afraid to die. I have no fear. My wife is getting a little bit stressed. It's because she's, you know, I'm always going around and I'm reading this and I'm telling something about that. And, it, you know, she receives it in a different way than I do. And I said, oh, man, are you kidding me? This is so exciting. This is so exciting. This battle that's breaking out in front of us, this good against evil. I got a front row seat to this. This is so exciting. But you go to the average Christian and they ain't got no idea what's going on. They don't know what artificial intelligence is. They don't understand how they're manipulating this with chemtrails and all that kind of. They don't have any understanding of any of it. They don't understand the Federal Reserve. They don't understand the phony money. Going to church and not understanding the basics of living life in comparison to the spiritual world is, to me, is malpractice. It's Christian malpractice. And that's where most of us are.
Hey, Coach.
Okay. Amen, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Gary.
Yeah, well, here's another take on this. Last year, one of the times when I met with, well, now he's the former pastor, well, my former pastor of the church, because I just quit there, I talked to him about, you know, having a game plan together for, you know, anytime if there should be a major upheaval, like what we're dealing with now, you know, with getting people prepared and how we're going to help each other out and help our community and so forth. And he, you know, his response was essentially, do you know how many people would leave the church if I started talking about this kind of stuff? So, and guess what? There's no plan.
So, Gary, Jared, stay right here. Rule number two, stay right here a second. Never go outside the expertise of your people. Listen, you tell me if this is the American church. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. But there it is. Never go outside. Never talk. Don't ever talk about the Nephilim. Don't ever talk about that. Why? Because it results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Because why? People go to church because the next line, feeling secure, adds to the backbone of anyone. Well, we don't talk about that. We don't believe that here. We're not gonna go there, right?
Coach Steve.
Yes.
Can I hear a scripture?
Can you hear a scripture?
Can I share a scripture?
Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, this is Ken Sundermeyer, pastor up here from my Pastor Sanders' direction.
Yes, sir.
And Mark chapter 7 and Matthew 15:1, where Jesus is confronted about the washing of hands. I think it's very significant. I've been thinking about that. He says, there's something more important than the washing of hands, and that's the keeping of God's commandments. And the commandment that he specifically goes to, one that he points out specifically to the scribes and Pharisees, is, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death.
Right there it is, that verse 10.
Yeah, the idea that, is this a plague from God? And if it is a plague from God, is the second Chronicles 7, where it says, and turn from your wicked ways.
Amen.
I think now, that this scripture here, that this study from Mark 7 and Matthew 15 can really go heavily and goodly into those directions.
So remember this, folks. Ken, that's a great point. Thank you, folks. Listen, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, see, again, it falls into the hands of the Christians. And ask ourselves this, are we being taught in our churches that we as Christians can, in fact, impact the world and the surroundings around us? Are we being taught that? And I would say we're not. Good point, Ken. Jared, pull up real quickly the email that says, am I a soldier? Pull that email up for me real quick, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Got this. Yes, go ahead. Good. Is that Jeff? Go.
Yeah. While you're going there, something simple over the weekend occurred, and this is a good example. The good friend, and I can't go into some details, but I'll share just briefly. This lady friend of ours, we've known 10 years, having some demonic stuff happen. It was horrible. So here we are, church is closed down, nowhere for her to go. These people are isolated in their houses. This woman we've known, me and Mary Jane ended up taking on ourselves to go to her house. I called her, said, can we come in? We get to her house, she's bleaching her house. And she's having some problems. I mean, it's a demonic attack, strongholds. So she's bleaching her house, she's a nurse. Now, she understands disease and stuff and social distancing and all this stuff. But she thought, you know what? I'm here by myself in my house. Got to bleach it. I'm having problems. My life's a wreck. So we go in. She stops bleaching her house. She's in the middle of the floor. We end up sitting here with her for about an hour and a half. We shared scripture, got to the root of her problem. We prayed over her. Mary Jane prayed. And I discussed with Tom Dunn about some of this stuff. It was great. He was a great help. So Mary Jane's praying around us. I'm praying with the woman. Tom says, open eye prayer with her. See her reactions. We ended up, and he said, if she's ready, lead her to the Lord. So we did. We led her to the Lord in her living room. Now it's an hour and a half. She caught bleach in her house because she realized somebody's there that's concerned about her, loves her, and wants to help her. So we go through all this. It was a great deal. I mean, great. We hugged. We held hands. No social distancing. We shared Jesus with her. What happens? I come out of the house and we're talking with her and we're talking to her about how now she's got God. She's got Jesus in her heart. She's ready to go. The devil can't creep in. The neighbor guy comes over. I've known him for 30 years. He's lived there. He's a Nazarene. All he wants to do is tell me how bad it is. The end of the days, end of days, Jeff. And I'm telling him, I said, Phil, I said, you don't have a clue. You're not. And I'm trying to, and he has no clue what just happened 50 feet from his house in this house. You know what I mean? He's isolated.
You can't teach what you don't know.
Yeah, it was, but it was great. So Tom's coming down Tuesday. We're going to sit down with this girl again, and it's just, it's been great.
Amen. Hey, I got up on that. Robert, get ready. Am I a soldier of the cross? I got it on your screen right now. This is by Isaac Watts. 1721, he wrote this, folks. 1721. Ask if this is a common thought in most churches today. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? In this vile world, a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all thy glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph far afar. From afar, they see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. That the attitude of today's church? Is that the message we're hearing from our pulpits today? Is that the message you're hearing on the Facebook church that guys are now starting? Jump in here, Robert. March 13th, we're coming up against the clock. Make it happen here, brother.
All right. Well, this fits into your quote there, because we're talking about being a soldier. And who do we fight against? Principalities and powers that energize these people. So it's spiritual warfare. It says, bearing the cross of Christ will often bring us to a cross of our own. You know, we don't hide out in our closets. We bear the cross and go out in the public. Beware, the devil is on the prowl. The devil loves to ensnare people to love his world so that they will miss out on eternal life. The devil wants to befriend the children of God so they might become God's enemies instead of his friends. But Jesus said that one cannot serve two masters. Too many contemporary Christians claim Jesus as Savior, but fail to realize that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And also to destroy the works of the devil, by the way, 1 John 3:8. They fail to sanctify Christ as Lord of their hearts and to serve him in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, as well as the treasure of eternal life. They yield to the devil's temptations and thoughts coming into the mind to grasp after the world's treasures and security and serve as gods living for the best life now. The devil prowls about enticing the Lord's servants to disregard their obligations to their master, to take a stand, for example. He prefers that they not feast on Jesus, the living manna from heaven, but rather indulge in pastoral pastries and deadly devil's food cake, covered with religious icing and smoking candles.
Amen. 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 I put in my newsletter this month. It's getting ready to go out. You remember Winston Churchill? In the darkest hours, if you guys didn't see that movie, that Winston Churchill movie that was out about a year ago, it was really good. Winston Churchill went before the British people in the darkest hour of the Second World War. What was it he said? Does anybody know what he said? I know you do. I know what you know. He said, "This will be our finest hour." Folks, what if the Lord is setting us up for our finest hour? What if this is going to be the most unbelievably glorious thing that has ever happened in the history of mankind? And we are positioned right here, right now, for our most what? Our finest hour. And the enemy doing everything he can to distract us, to fear, get us to fear, to pull us away from what our real mission is. I say, Christians, this will be our finest hour. Amen. Man, what a time to be alive. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.